Hi, I'm Jean Ann Duckworth, and welcome to A Life of Simple Joy. This week, I'm rebooting my podcast. Boy, I've done this so many different times, so many different ways over the years. When I first started podcasting, they were only 5 minutes long because internet connections were really slow. And I wanted to do a half-hour program. Mr. D, who is my voice of sensibility, said to me, Jean Ann, the women in your audience are not going to have the patience to download a half-hour show. It's going to take them forever. Do 5 minutes. So I did 5 minutes for 5 to 6 minutes, five shows a week. And basically what it was is a half-hour show broken up into five separate parts. I started doing this again because I really felt God was saying to me that women are, you all are, and me, but we're all hurting right now. We were hurting before this pandemic hit us, and we're hurting more now. And we really need to kind of get our stuff together and start working together and just a lot of things. I want to help you. I want to begin by helping you ease some of that stress that's just taken over your lives. It was a major factor in your life before all this began, and now, holy cow, it's probably become the driving force in your life. Because it's just, I'm sure many of you feel your life is out of control. I send out a prayer list every week. On Monday, I send out and post a request. You know, do you have a prayer request for the week? Submit it to me and I'll include it on the list. And the women who are contacting me and saying, I feel so much stress, or I'm just so exhausted, or I feel so overwhelmed. It's really hard. Simple joy can help. I am not saying it is the cure-all for absolutely everything that ails you. And the number one thing about simple joy is whatever I talk about, whatever I share with you, whatever I try to teach you, you have to adapt it so it works for you. This is not a one-size-fits-all. This is a one-size that stretches in a multitude of ways so that it works for those who want to take the time to adjust it and to discover how they can use it in their lives. You might use a little bit. You might use a little bit more. You might use a lot of it. I don't know. And it's not just advice nattering on like I am right now. As we get into it, especially as we get into the holidays, as we get into next month, well, the end of this month, and I start talking about Thanksgiving, and then on into Christmas, I'm going to be sharing all kinds of stuff, you know, recipes and basic tips and TikTok videos and just all kinds of things. Because like I said, I've been doing this a long time and I have an incredible vast wealth of information that I am going to regurgitate on you all at one time. No, I'm not. But what I'm doing this week is I want to make sure you understand what simple joy is and how it works. In the last episode, I talked about stress and its relationship to joy, that stress suppresses your joy, that joy is not an emotion, it's a state of being, and when it's suppressed, it makes it hard to function. Excuse me, I need a drink of my Gatorade. There we go. It really, and when your joy is suppressed, when any of your states of being are suppressed, it's like trying to function with one arm tied behind your back and lead in your shoe. Some things you find you can't do at all, and other things you're just slowed down incredibly. Not good, no matter which. When I first came up with this idea of simple joy, of simplifying life to reduce stress, and simplifying life not by going off the grid, by getting rid of every, no, by discovering what causes you stress and going from there. I wanted to have something that women could use in their life now, immediately. And I thought about it, and divine intervention, because I just won't believe I'm that flippin' smart, stepped in, and I came up with what I called the three rules of simple joy. Because the three guidelines just sound silly. And I want it to be more than just guidelines. These are things that you really need to take time to think about and consider applying to your life. I'm going to do the first one today, the second one tomorrow, and the third one Friday's program. I don't do this on Thursday because my darling husband, the wonderful Mr. D, is off on Thursday, and we do things together on Thursday. Primarily, we go to Costco on Thursday because I preach simplifying your life and easing your stress, but I don't always follow my own advice. Mr. D, one time, I made the mistake of letting him listen to something I had recorded. He was editing it for me before I could edit myself. He stopped it in mid-program, turned to me and said, "Do you ever listen to the things you say?" "No, I'm too busy talking to listen." But that aside, rule number one is miss. Yes, miss sounds funny. Miss stands for make it simple, sweetie. Now, I know your brain is going, "That's not right. It's not miss. It's kiss. You know, keep it simple." And usually it's a not nice word. So I use sweetie. And I'll be honest with you, until a day or two ago, that's exactly what I had been teaching, kiss, all these years. And then all of a sudden, yesterday, I'm sitting there and I'm Sunday watching football and working on stuff. Sometimes when your brain is mostly engaged by something else and you're only using, kind of running on autopilot for the rest of it, it's when you come up with the best ideas. It suddenly hit me, keep it simple implies that they're already simplifying their lives and you're just encouraging them to keep it up. Good job. Move forward. Go ahead. Keep doing this. And Jean Ann, that's not the case. They're not keeping it simple. Most of them are keeping it as complicated as humanly possible. You need to encourage them to make it simple. So I changed it. I have been accused multiple times in my life of oversimplifying. I'll state something and people, "Oh, that's just an oversimplification. You oversimplify everything." It's because it is my firm belief that in nature, as well as with God, nature seeks simplicity. And really, when you think about it, what God does is pretty simple. I mean, let's face it, Jesus, God gave us 10 rules to follow, and Jesus took them and carved them down into two because he wanted to simplify our life even more. And some of you are sitting there going, "Why does she talk about this stuff all the time?" Because she has a master of divinity, and this is what she does. Don't let that scare you, though. I am a most unusual kind of pastor, which is a story for another whole day. We don't have time for now. So I just ask, if that isn't your thing, please just be patient with me. I won't beat you over the head with it. And when I do things like my Saturday devotions, you don't have to listen to those. But it is what I do. And my faith is a part of everything I do. So enough said for this. Life seeks simplicity. We're what overcomplicates things. We're the ones that packs our life. So we need to learn ways to make things simple. And the way to do that is to ask yourself three questions. You will find the number three. I use it a lot. I am a good Presbyterian, you know, the three-part sermon. And three is just a really easy number to work with, really easy to remember. Jeez, can't be losing my voice. And make way too many people happy. We had rain here last night. I don't know why I'm dry, because it's about as humid as it can get in Southern California without it actually raining. Anyway, for the moment, I want you to think of something. Take a moment. Pause this if you have to, or come back to it if you need to. I want you to think of something that creates stress in your life, that kind of overwhelms you. Now, you don't have to get super specific about it, because that is one of the questions you're going to ask yourself. But you can't be overly general. You can't say, my kids make me crazy. Be that as it may, you need to get a little more specific than that. You know, what is it about trying to coordinate things with your kids that stresses you out? Is it they're involved in too many activities? Is it that things are so disorganized? Is it that you can't get cooperation? You know, what is it that is causing you problems? Now, for the sake of this discussion, I'm going to share one of mine with you. When I first came up with these three rules, it was at Christmas. I was working in the audio department of a huge church, and the church put on this ginormous Christmas pageant every year. Rehearsals started Veterans Day, November 11th, and performances ran until the 30th of December. From about the 12th of December on, with the exception of Christmas, I didn't get any days off. I worked long hours. When we really got into it, there were a couple of days, because we did kids' performances, when I did five shows a day. It was stressful. Now, one saving grace is the fact that even though Katie, our daughter, the child, as she is referred to often, was in school, junior high and high school, she was in the show, so she was with us. That helped, because it wasn't like because Mr. D worked in audio also. It wasn't like she was at home alone. To say I was stressed out is an understatement. One of the things that was causing me the greatest amount of stress was grocery shopping. I was finding it very difficult to find time, to find the energy to grocery shop. So, you know, I could have just said trying to take care of things at home, but I had to get a little more specific than that. Grocery shopping. All right. So the first question you have to ask yourself is a kind of a wowzer. It is, does it need to be done at all? Now, I know I can hear some of you going, boy, is that stupid. Of course it needs to be done, whatever it might be. But you might find, if you are completely honest with yourself, that, you know, because this isn't something you just do it with one thing. You do it with one thing, and when you get that under control, you try something else. You might actually find there are things that don't need to be done, that you can stop doing, which is a good thing. I'm sorry I didn't do this sooner. That whole year when you were stuck at home and you could not do any of these things, as soon as restrictions were lifted, you immediately started doing all of it again, and then some. Because, you know, we feel guilty, mommy guilt, that bane of all of our existence. We always have to make up for things. And we needed to make up for the fact that, you know, our families couldn't go out and do things like it was our fault. But as Mr. D said, one time he looked at me and he goes, why is it you don't go to the Middle East and apologize to them for the fact that there isn't peace? You feel responsible for everything else. Yeah, we've been together a very, very long time. And he knows me better than I know myself. And he calls me out on things, which is good. Makes me angry, but it's good. Anyway, there might be things, if you take a moment and think about it, there might be things that cause you a lot of stress you really don't have to do. You really, really don't. And I'll be doing this again when we go into the holidays. And I'll talk about some of the things you do you might not really have to. But take a moment to consider it. If nothing else, even if it's something you still have to do, you'll feel better because you feel a little more control. Wow, I never thought about the fact that you can actually say, no, I'm not going to do that. You can. You might not, but you can. And just the thought that you could stop doing something, surrender it, is a powerful feeling. All right, that doesn't really have to be done. So if it's no, then yay, you're done. Do another one. But if it's yes, which most of them will be, you move on to the next question, which is, what is it about this activity that causes me so much stress? Now, this is where you really get specific. If it's, you know, if you couldn't pare it down, you just said, you know, it's my kids or my family. Or the way things are at home. What about home? Maybe it's the clutter and the chaos at home. Maybe it's, you know, maybe mornings cause you a lot of stress. And it's the fact that you feel like everybody's flying out the door half ready, forgetting things. At the last, you know, trying to do things at the last minute, and it just makes you crazy. Maybe you have a long commute. I live in Southern California. There are people that, you know, drive 2-3 hours. There are people who live in San Diego, work in Los Angeles. You need to ask yourself, okay, so this is what causes me stress. I still have to do it. What is it about it that causes me stress? Well, remember, for me, it was grocery shopping. What is it that caused me stress? Geez, it was so time-consuming. I didn't have that kind of time. I didn't have that kind of energy. You go to the store, you take something off. You know, first, you got to make a list. You got to go around and check everything. You make your list. You go to the store, you take stuff off the shelf, put it in your cart, off the cart, onto the conveyor belt. They put it back in your cart, out of the cart into the trunk. You get home, you take it out of your vehicle, you take it into the house, out of the bag, into the pantry. I'm telling you, by that time, I don't want to look at this food anymore, let alone have to eat it, let alone cook it. I'm sick of it. And if you're really tired, if you're really low on time, you really don't want to have to do anything with this. So it was that was causing me to go nuts. And just causing me a lot of stress. I couldn't focus enough. It frustrated me so much. I couldn't focus to make a grocery list. I couldn't focus to find the time to go do it. I felt it was making me angry. Why is all this on me? Why do I have to do all of this? There are two other people, and so on, which, you know, is the topic for tomorrow. We're going to talk about. But you may have a little idea now what that is. And just a lot of things. There were other things that I could bring up. You know, I used to make a ton of cookies at Christmas time from scratch, and I loved doing it, but it caused me so much stress, and it was so expensive doing it. And I gave the cookies out, but it's not that I expected people to go on and on, but return on investment meant a lot. What causes you stress? Be specific. Now for the final question. You have to look at it, and this is going to take a little thinking. You have to ask yourself, is there an easier way? Maybe you're doing it the way you do it because it's the way you've always done it. Yeah, so? You know, so many, if I say younger people, it makes me seem so old. But I see so many people who are, say, my daughter's age and even younger than that, making comments about those of us who are older and how we seem to be stuck into doing things in old-fashioned. I feel because so much has happened in our lives, there's been so much advancement, and we've actually kept up with it. I got a cell phone. We had a computer early on. We got on the internet really quick, learned how to use the internet. I learned how to develop a website and an online magazine. I did podcasting. I went on YouTube and developed video. I did all this stuff. I kept evolving. But sometimes it seems like some people just get locked into doing things the same way. You got to evolve. You constantly have to be looking for easier ways to do things. And that's part of what I've been doing lately is I wanted to get back to ministering to women. And when I say minister, I define ministry as seeing to the needs of other people. So it isn't necessarily in a religious sense. Women need a lot of things. Training and encouragement and support, and it doesn't have to include any kind of the Jesus talk at all. Anyway, getting on with it. You have to look for an easier way to do these things. Sorry, the train pulled out of the station and I forgot to get on. You have to look for an easy way to do it. So, grocery shopping. How did I find an easier way? Well, nowadays, this story kind of loses some of its oomph because this is so commonplace now. But one day I was at home and I looked out the window and down the street there was this peach panel truck. And I thought, that's a rather pretty truck. It's kind of different. What is that? And it was, you know, like peach grocer, green grocer, somethinggrocer.com. And I went, what? And I went online, and lo and behold, here was a website where I could order groceries and have them delivered to my home. No. Now, this was just phenomenally expensive and not at all common, so they could afford to be expensive because if you wanted to use it, there was no competition. But I think twice that year, I went online and I ordered groceries. I actually had to do it at work. Once again, web or internet connections and the speed of the internet, the one at work, because of what we did at that church, was so much faster. Anyway, I went online. The next Saturday, there's a at the door, and I open it, and here is a nice young man. Who says, I have your groceries, may I bring them in? And I look, and he's got a cart, and he's got these plastic bins, and here are all these grocery bags. And I said, yes, you may. He puts on little surgical booties, and he comes in, and he stacks everything in my kitchen. He tells me to have a nice day, goes out the door, and he's gone. I'm telling you, I went through those bags. I was like a little kid on Christmas morning. Everything was brand new. I had not handled these groceries before this moment. I had ordered them, but it was just a picture on the computer screen. I had not seen them or held them. It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And preparing this food was just a delight. And then I found I really didn't mind having to go to the grocery store to pick up a few things. Because the bulk of my shopping, I did online. And like I said, yeah, it cost a fortune. I still order groceries online. I joined one of the services, I won't say for what company, and at least once a week, I place an order. As a matter of fact, I have to do it today. I place an order, and they deliver my groceries. And again, I go through the bags, and it's like, oh, I forgot I ordered this. And, oh, look at this. Or they substituted something, and this is even better. You have to find a better way to do it. The commute makes you crazy. You know, what is it about the commute? Well, it's time away from my family. Can you move closer? Is there another way you can do it? Can you make sure that you have quality time with your family when you are at home? Can you make your commute do something so that you're not as exhausted when you get home so you have better time with your family? Is it the fact that you feel it's wasted time because you're just sitting in the car? This is going to sound corny, but, you know, can you learn a language? Can you do books on tape? You just have to be careful. When I worked in audio, they had me doing this major wiring project. I spent an entire summer doing it. And one of the guys in audio, Gary, God rest his soul, I miss him. Gary loaned me Stephen King's Bag of Bones. And I listened to it while I was doing this project. Gary said, I listened to this while I was commuting to work for a month. And he says, you have to be careful because he said, I'll tell you quite honestly, I remember absolutely nothing about that commute. And I honestly don't remember a whole lot about pinning up all those connectors that I worked on because I was so invested in this book when I was listening to it. It was wonderful. Find a way that makes it easy. It is getting out the door is what causes so much problem. I am a fanatic about getting everything ready the night before so that I'm not racing out the door the next morning searching for things. I have everything where I can find it. And people go, Jean Ann, you're so well organized. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not organized at all. I'm a hot mess. It's why I do that. Because if I didn't, I would be losing my mind. And I already, in case I haven't mentioned it, I've been diagnosed with anxiety and depression. That would just drive my anxiety through the roof. So, no, we do not do that. Miss, make it simple, sweetie. Do you have to do it at all? Determine what causes you stress, a task that causes you stress. Do you have to do it at all? What is it about? If you do, then what is it about it specifically that causes you stress? And with that in mind, is there an easier way you can do that that eliminates that specific cause of stress? And once you do it once, give it a little while, and then do another one. And you may have to tweak it and do it over again, and that's just how this works. But begin with this step, and you're well on your way to simplifying your life, reducing your stress, and increasing that joy. All I have time for today, kitties. It's been wonderful being with you. I hope to talk to you again next time. In the meantime, I am Jean Ann Duckworth, and I am wishing you a life filled with simple joy. You have a great day.